Well, today is the last in our series, Black Presence in the Bible. I hope it has created a spark in you to look deeper into who the people are in the passages that we often read and not let Western Eurocentric culture paint everyone in the scriptures as European. Because as you see, they are not. Instead, the Bible invites us to see a rich mosaic of people whom God has weaved into God's gracious plan of salvation. And it's a beautiful plan. One of love, mercy, self-revelation, and relationship. Today, we are focusing on the prophet Jeremiah and the Ethiopian Ebed-Melech, who rescued him when he was thrown into the cistern to die. The background to this passage is when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon plundered Judah and killed Judah's king, Jehoiakim. Then Jehoiakim, his son, was put on the throne, and within 3 months, he, the queen mother, the high government officials, and most of Jerusalem's skilled workers were exiled to Babylon. And I've talked about the Babylonian exile many times, and we know that they were exiled because they sinned and they broke the covenant. Jeremiah had warned the king that this would happen if the nation did not repent. But unfortunately, they did not. King Zedekiah was appointed king of Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar. He once again shows the fatal weakness of character that repeatedly prevented him from following a course that might have turned the people to do the right thing. Leaders have power. Amen. But then we see the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a court official, Ebed-Melech. He speaks truth to power and demonstrates moral character and courage. Now, this was a politically charged atmosphere. The court officials were advising the king wrongly. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? They are telling the king to seek Egypt's Pharaoh for help against the Babylonians who are attacking Jerusalem. Rather than listening to the word of the Lord given by Jeremiah, which said that the people should surrender to the Babylonians so that they could keep their lives. Chapter 37, verse 2 tells us, prior to this attack and Jeremiah's imprisonment, that neither the king, nor his servants, nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord that he spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. In the meanwhile, Jeremiah receives a message from Anathoth, his hometown, to come and to take care of some family matters. But as he leaves, he is arrested for desertion to the Babylonians and for discouraging the army with his prophecies. King Zedekiah could have called the people to repentance, but he did not. Nor was he strong enough to resist the arguments of the court officials when they condemned Jeremiah for the Lord's words to the people. King Zedekiah said, "Here he is. He's in your hands. You're going to do what you want to do anyway." So they took Jeremiah, they beat him, and they threw him into a cistern to die. But Ebed-Melech dares to defy the court officials, runs to the Benjamin Gate where the king is holding court. The king heeds his plea for Jeremiah's life and tells Ebed-Melech to take a rescue party of 30 men to free Jeremiah from the cistern. And if the king thought he needed 30 men, it probably tells us that it might have been a pretty dangerous thing. Now, I call this message Courage to Love because it took great courage for Ebed-Melech to do what he did. He cared about Jeremiah's welfare during this turbulent and chaotic time in Judah. The officials who wanted Jeremiah's death could have easily turned on him as well. He could have taken the attitude of every man for himself. He could have said, "I feel you, brother, but I'm saving my skin right now." Many of us might have said that. Amen? But he didn't. Instead, he put Jeremiah's welfare above his own. And that's what love does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 6 and 7 says, "Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance." Romans chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." God's love for us propelled him to act in love and to make a way to rescue us from the sin that imprisoned us. That sin too involved a death sentence. But Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 15, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Ebed-Melech had the courage to love. Often on Facebook, I see this quote posted. "Love is not a word, it is an action." I believe that's true. People can say they love you all day long, but actions definitely speak louder than words. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Ebed-Melech's caring act on Jeremiah's behalf was rewarded with God's promise of protection for his own life, so that when Jerusalem was sieged and burned down by the Babylonians, God kept him safe. Why? Because the scripture says he trusted God. He trusted God enough to do what was right. That's a challenge. Amen? What about us? Do we have the courage to walk in love and to speak up against what is not right? Politician and 18th century author Edmund Burke wrote, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he thought he could only do little. So thinking of our efforts as insignificant because they are little will keep us from doing something or saying something that could make all the difference in the life of someone who is in need of intervention on their behalf. We live in a time where somebody needs to speak truth to power. Amen? And I hate to talk politics all the time, but I just can't believe all those Republican Congress people and senators really agree with Donald Trump. I don't believe that they're all evil people, even if I may not agree with their policies. But you know, there comes a time in our life when we have to put aside our own agendas and do what's right. There comes a time in our life where we have to move beyond trying to protect me and mine, my position, my power, and do what's right. And as you see, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? That's what was happening in this chapter in Jeremiah. It was a chaotic and fearful time. So many people had already lost their lives. Everybody who had any kind of skill was already carted off to Babylon. There were very few people who were left in Jerusalem. They thought Egypt was going to come and save them. And God gave Jeremiah a word and said, Egypt's king is not coming. And they were at the borders. And they turned and they went back to Egypt. Zedekiah called Jeremiah from the prison and said, give me a word again. And I promise I won't kill you. So God spoke to the king again through Jeremiah and said, this is going to happen. I will destroy Jerusalem. But if you surrender, you will save your life. But did Zedekiah listen? No. The scripture says that he and his officials who opposed Jeremiah and who put Jeremiah in that cistern, they tried to escape. And the Babylonians tracked them down and killed them all because they didn't listen to God. But the one man who had the courage to act in love and intercede for the prophet of God lived because he trusted in God. Sometimes we just have to, well, all the time, we need to trust in God and do what's right. And that's not always just on some big national level. That could be at work. Amen. When you see something's wrong, but you won't speak up for somebody because you're afraid it's going to affect you. That can be in the church. When you know something is wrong or you know somebody's behaving wrong, but you won't tell them. So in really then what you do is you give place to the devil. Because without correction, chaos ensues. Amen? Amen. More work of God is hindered because people won't do right. And the people who know to do right are silent. That's not God's desire for us. We need to have the courage to walk in love. You know why? Because as we heard at the beginning of the month when we learned about Hagar's story, God is the God who sees. Amen? God sees everything. And he says, I will not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ebed-Melech reaped life because he trusted in God. How about us? Amen? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. You never call us to do anything that you do not equip us for. We just have to trust in you. You never promised that life would not have its ups and downs. You never promised that you would shield us from all dangerous situations. You just promised that you'd be with us. But you're faithful. Help us, God, to have courage to love people, to stand for what's right, and to trust you most of all, God. And then we trust you to keep us as you kept your servant in the scriptures today, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.